Chapter 4. Red Behaviour. How to recognise a real alpha and avoid getting in his way. What should we do? We'll do it my way, now. This is the behaviour type that Hippocrates, in his theory of human temperament, called choleric. Nowadays, you might call a red person bold, ambitious, driven, but also potentially hot-tempered, rash, or dominant. You quickly notice a red person because he doesn't make the slightest effort to conceal who he is. A red person is a dynamic and driven individual. He has goals in life that others may find difficult to even imagine. Since his goals are so highly ambitious, achieving them seems to be impossible. Reds strive forward, always pushing themselves harder, and they almost never give up. Their belief in their own ability is unsurpassed. They carry inside them the firm belief that they can achieve anything, if they just work hard enough. People who have lots of red in their behaviour are task-oriented extroverts, and they enjoy challenges. They make quick decisions and are often comfortable taking the lead and taking risks. A common perception is that reds are natural leaders. These are people who willingly take command and go to the fore. They are so driven that they will get through despite any obstacle in their path. Their disposition is ideal in competitive situations. It's not unusual for a CEO or a president to have lots of red in his behaviour. This form of competition is present in everything reds do. To say that they constantly want to challenge and compete is probably not entirely true. But if a chance of winning something arises, why not? The exact nature of the competition is unimportant. It's the competitive element that keeps reds running on all cylinders. Pella, one of my former neighbours, liked competing so much that he developed entirely new interests just to compete. I like working in the garden, and so I spend quite some time doing so. Pella didn't like gardening, but when he heard people commenting on my beautiful garden often enough, he finally had enough. He started one project after another, always with a single but very clear objective: to outdo me. He confounded his wife by digging new flower beds, planting a rainbow of unbelievably fabulous plants, and cultivating the lawn to golf course standard. The only thing I needed to do to keep him going was to merely suggest that I would purchase more plants. Then he would go to the local garden centre quicker than you could say, bad loser. You can also recognise reds by other behaviour patterns. Who talks the loudest? Reds. Who goes all out when explaining something? Reds. Who's always the first to answer a question? Reds again. Who, during an otherwise pleasant dinner, makes categorical comments on just about any topic? And who will judge an entire country based on something he saw on television? Reds. Something is always happening in the lives of red people. They can't sit still. Idle time is wasted time. Life is short. Better to get going immediately. Do you recognise the type? Always on the go. So step aside, let's get cracking. Tell me what you really think. Yes, for real. Reds have no problem being blunt. When asked a specific question, they often say exactly what they think, without any frills. They see no need to wrap things up in a bunch of empty phrases. When a thought pops into their heads, Everyone knows it immediately. They have opinions on most things, and they trot their thoughts out quickly and efficiently. A common remark is that Reds are very honest, because they dare to express their personal truths to people. They don't really understand what the fuss is all about. They've only said things as they are. If you need someone with extra energy, you may want to invite a Red into the team or project group. They fight tirelessly along when others have already given up. If they're determined to succeed, that is. A task that has become humdrum and meaningless could be totally ignored by a Red. I call this phenomenon slog or split. If the task is important enough, a Red will go through fire and water to complete it. If he feels it has no purpose, into the trash it goes. Red people often see themselves as driven, decisive, prompt, persuasive, resolute, competitive, determined, strong-willed, ambitious, independent, time-conscious, results-oriented. Can I win something? In that case, I'm in. So, Reds like competing. They appreciate the slight antagonism that is part of being competitive and the glorious moment of winning. They even enjoy winning competitions that probably don't even exist, except perhaps in their own mind. It could be passing a slow walker on the street, finding the absolutely best parking spot, or dominating the family game of Monopoly, despite the fact that the purpose of the game is to entertain the kids and none of the other adults are actually competing. For a Red, this is all natural, because he sees himself as a winner. Let me give you an example. I once worked for a company where the CEO was Red. He was energetic and efficient, and consequently incredibly dynamic. No meetings were as short and sweet as those run by this CEO. But his weak spot was the competitive element. As a young man, he'd played soccer, and every spring at this particular workplace, they held a soccer tournament. It was very popular, even before he joined the company. Naturally, he had to take part. No other CEO before him had ever done so, but that wasn't the problem. The problem was that as soon as he got out on the field, he became a different person. On fire with his competitive drive, he flattened anyone who stood in his way. This continued for a few years, until someone had the guts to tell him that he played just a little bit too rough. The game wasn't supposed to be that serious. The CEO didn't understand. He grabbed the latest flyer for the game and pointed out that it was called a soccer tournament. Tournaments are competitions, and if you compete, you're in it to win. Simple. He competed in traffic, on the soccer field, in business. No area was too insignificant not to become a competition. He even raced to see how quickly he could finish reading a book. What others do for relaxation, he transformed into a competition. 100 pages an hour was a reasonable pace. His wife had even banned him from playing a memory card game with his children, who were 5 and 6 years old. Since they had better memories than he did, they won most of the time. And in his frustration, he intimidated them. Before you conclude that this guy sounds rather unsympathetic, we need to look at his intentions. This kind of intensive and competitive behaviour often upsets other people because they think it's all about dominating and suppressing others. Nothing could be further from the truth. His intentions were almost never malicious. He just wanted to win. This is one of the greatest challenges for Reds. It's not uncommon that other people feel irritated or intimidated by them because they're such powerful personalities. Later on in this book, I will share some simple ways that you can deal with these individuals. Time is money. Quick is synonymous with good for Reds. If you're in a meeting and suddenly notice that one of the other participants is devoting his time to something completely different, it may well be a Red who has lost interest. If you look closer, you'll realise that his thoughts are elsewhere, on the next step in the process being discussed, for example, because Reds are quick thinkers. They move on long before everyone else. Few things annoy Reds more than sluggishness. If a meeting or a discussion drags on, he may interrupt and ask if it's really necessary to prolong the issue. We've already discussed this for 20 minutes. Get it together. It's only a few million in investments. How hard can it be? If you think about it, they're often right. When other people may find it difficult to make a decision, Reds are prepared to make quick decisions in order to keep things moving. With a Red on the team, nothing will be discussed ad infinitum. After all, it's always better to do something rather than nothing, right? The advantage is obvious. We're talking about people who never waste time on anything that doesn't move forward. As soon as the task becomes unclear or is taking too long, the Red will ensure that the momentum is maintained and spur things along. Chop chop, done in double time. About 15 years ago, I began working for a small consulting company with about a dozen employees. It was a polished organisation with a great spirit of entrepreneurship and excellent momentum in business dealings. One of the reasons why they were so efficient was because the founder of the company was a Red. Nothing could move too quickly for Bjorn. No meeting took longer than was absolutely necessary. In my second or third week in the new job, I was sitting in a traffic jam when my cell phone rang. I looked at the display and saw that it was Bjorn. I answered the way I'd been instructed to when I started at the company, with a greeting, my name, and the company name. Impatiently, he interrupted me and spit out his question. "Were you looking for me?" "No," I replied, and took a deep breath, ready to say something else. I didn't get the chance. "Okay," he said, and hung up. 8 seconds. Unpleasant? Well, at the time we didn't really know each other. However, I must admit that the whole episode had me worried a little, at least on that occasion. Only 3 weeks at the company, and the big chief himself calls and sounding irritated. When we'd gotten to know each other, and I learned that Bjorn was Red, I asked him why he was so abrupt on the phone. Of course, he didn't even remember the call, but he said he was probably just trying to find out if I was looking for him. When he learned I wasn't, there was no further need to talk. Wasting time on polite, flowery phrases or drawn-out farewells wasn't for him. But at the same time, here was a person with a capacity to work far more than normal. Bjorn managed to do more in an average working day than most people. He still has an exceptional ability to make the most of any free time. If he has a gap of 5 minutes in his schedule, he manages to squeeze in an email, a phone call, and go through some meeting minutes. From the outside, this may seem like an unnecessary pursuit of efficiency. But a Red detests inactivity. Things must happen. Add to this a sense of constant urgency, and a great deal will get done. The sky's the limit. Or is it? for a red. A realistic budget is a budget for cowards. If we don't push ourselves to the breaking point, we haven't tried hard enough. Reds love difficult tasks, so their level of ambition is usually boundless. The ability to manage difficult situations and challenges is the defining attribute of red behaviour. When a person with red traits sets his goals, several things happen. First, he wants to know how well a specific task under the most favourable conditions could be performed. If all 19 parameters were met and we all gave it a little extra effort, the results would be phenomenal. This means that anything below that impossible level of excellence is boring, because there's at least a remote possibility of that result being achieved. Nothing is impossible. The impossible just takes a little longer. More than likely, it was a red who came up with that expression. Naturally, it's also about the type of project. It's not enough just to set an impossible sales budget. If a red doesn't like sales, he'll ignore the budget. Since he prefers to make all the decisions himself, he probably won't be fooled into doing something he doesn't feel like doing. Reds set higher demands on themselves than any of the other colours would. And they are always prepared to work hard. I wouldn't go so far as to say that no other colour works as hard as reds do, but I would venture to say that a red would give anyone a run for his money. Ambition, which is intrinsic to reds, shouldn't be confused with a lust for power. Reds have no problem taking positions of power, since they're fearless. Expressions like, "it's lonely and windy at the top," don't scare them. But for a red, power is not an end in itself. It does, however, come in handy for those who like to make their own decisions and avoid having to wait for others. A red can, in fact, be quite unassuming. It's true that he has a strong ego, but status and prestige don't have the same importance as with other colours. The reason is simple. A red usually doesn't care what others think. He's not here for their sake. He's here for his own. Let me tell you how things really are. A red gives everything he's got. When he has an opinion about something, or if he wants the rest of us to agree with him, he pulls out all the stops. Once, I was in a meeting with a large number of people who didn't know one another that well. It was a gathering of consultants who were meeting to discuss a potential collaboration. It was in the middle of a recession, and we were all concerned about the lack of direction. While we were waiting for the chairperson to arrive, we chatted a little about everything. At one end of the table sat Elizabeth, who had strong opinions about everything. In an unequivocal voice, she suddenly stated that the company was still expected to earn over $50 million a week, despite the recession. About 15 consultants, all highly trained, reflective and intelligent people, nodded in agreement. Just imagine. $50 million per week. While Elizabeth expanded on how the situation ought to be resolved in the consulting world, I began thinking about the figures a little bit. Not knowing where these figures came from, I remained silent. It could be true. It could also be far-fetched. I honestly didn't know. While waiting for the meeting to begin officially, I started calculating how much $50 million per week would be per year. I didn't have enough paper. After the meeting, I got the answer to my speculations. I was in a taxi on my way to my next meeting when the driver turned on the radio. In the news, it was announced that the company in question was expected to earn between $2 and $2.5 million per week. I realised that Elizabeth had gotten the information from the news. I also understood that $2 million or $2.5 million per week was far more realistic than the $50 million that she had referred to. But wait a minute. A little reconciliation with reality is needed here. Why didn't anyone react? No one in the room lifted a finger or called her information into question. Why? Because she sounded so convincing. Her facial expression was definite. Her countenance was determined, and her voice did not quiver in the least when she presented her figures. That's the way Reds function. When they believe something, they let people know that this is the only truth that exists. Now, maybe there are some sticklers for detail who might claim that this is deceptive, since we now know that the company earned $2.5 million a week and not roughly $50 million. But I'm convinced that Elizabeth really believed what she said. She had things turned around, no doubt about that, and she was certainly not interested in details. But my point is that by sounding utterly confident when she declared that the company was earning 6 months' revenue per week, we all fell for it. Or, in the words of a good friend of mine, there are two ways to do this, my way and the wrong way. Only dead fish go with the flow. Reds are both groundbreaking and strong-willed. Why not also add results-oriented and decisive when we're at it? For Reds, it's not sufficient to do things like everyone else does. And just because it's tough doesn't mean we should avoid doing it. Reds aren't afraid to make decisions. When everyone else hesitates, thinking and weighing the risks, a Red makes the controversial decision. A Red's determination is usually unyielding. Once he's decided, then it's full steam ahead. Their fearlessness dares them to tackle things that make others hesitate. This is usually evident when things get rough, and they're undaunted by tough choices or tricky decisions. It is no coincidence that many entrepreneurs are Reds. Setting up new businesses, especially if they're based on completely new business concepts, is, in our current economy, not for the faint of heart. It's not a bad thing to have a force of nature in the driver's seat. It takes a strong mind to move things forward. Someone who understands that risks are part of everyday life and that everything boils down to hard work from morning to night for many years. Reds understand this from the beginning and are in no way intimidated by it. Do you need someone to pursue a problem in your apartment complex? Maybe you've gotten on the wrong side of your landlord, who says that there is absolutely nothing wrong with your heat. Or maybe the contractor who repaired the roof and installed the new elevators was negligent and won't take responsibility for it. Anytime you try to get things straightened out, you've been brought to standstill by a barricade of unanswered calls and info at addresses. You're just about to give up when you suddenly remember the guy on the second floor living above you. Isn't he kind of Red? Wasn't he the one who dared to go up against the super at the last meeting and get the trash policy changed? Yes, that's the guy. Throw the guy from the second floor into the process, and then you'll see things begin to happen. You might have to motivate him a little, explaining that he has a lot to gain from it himself, but he will make things happen. He'll subdue the landlord and get the contractor in line. And he won't lose any sleep, just because someone got angry with him in the process. Generally speaking, A red's strengths are very powerful. They are extremely clear in their communication, and you don't have to look far to identify red behaviour. Of course, over the years, many reds learn to restrain themselves somewhat, but it doesn't usually last very long. They'll be back to full throttle and all that entails. It wasn't better before. Onward and upward. A red doesn't try to stick to his original point of view when he realizes that a better solution exists. He is a quick thinker and has no problem shifting his ground at short notice. One of the advantages of this is that he doesn't reject other people's ideas if he has none himself. It's worth looking into anything that can propel development forward. Sometimes decisions can come a little bit too quickly, but the will to constantly change creates a strong dynamism and flexibility. If anything has been static for a long time, maybe a few weeks, he will turn things up a notch. Some people may find this stressful, but when you ask a red why he changed something that was actually working, the answer could well be, because I could. Naturally, there are also downsides. Reds get bored with the status quo quickly, and so they change it. The people around them have no idea what will happen next. When greens and blues have just gotten used to the new organisation and think that they've finally grasped how things are supposed to work, well, a red will have already outlined the next step. Conclusions on red behaviour. So, what do you think? Do you know any reds? Do you have any around you? If you want to get to know some famous red people, consider Steve Jobs, FDR, Venus Williams, or Margaret Thatcher. There's also Barack Obama and Mother Teresa. Oh yes, it's true. If you consider Mother Teresa's deeds, the strength she needed, and whom she had to deal with, the world's foremost leaders, to achieve what she did, then you'll realise that she was extremely determined and forceful. A typical red profile. Chapter 5. Yellow Behaviour. How to recognise someone whose head is in the clouds and get him back to reality again. That sounds fun. Let me do it. In the Hippocratic world, we've now come to the sanguine person. What other words can be used to describe him? Optimistic and cheerful, a person with a bright outlook on life. The thesaurus even suggests the epithet, a man of possibilities. How about that? It is, in fact, an excellent description of yellow behaviour. These are people who live to live, always finding opportunities for enjoyment. Life is a banquet, and yellows will see to it that they savour every bite. They're driven by merriment and laughter. And why not? The sun is always shining somewhere. Do you know anyone who sees sunshine where others see dark clouds? Have you met anyone who can laugh, even though he hasn't had any good news for months? Then you've met a yellow. Have you been at a party and wonder why everyone flocks around a particular person, man or woman? Well, in the centre of the circle, there's a yellow, entertaining everyone who wants to laugh. Yellows make sure that the atmosphere is at its zenith so that every event becomes a marvellous party. When something is no longer fun, they move on to another place where the atmosphere is better. Recognising a yellow is easy. He's the one who's talking all the time. He's the one who gives answers rather than asking questions, often answering questions that no one's even asked. He answers a question by telling a story that may or may not have anything to do with the issue. But it really doesn't matter, because he will put you in a cheerful mood. Besides, his unshakably positive attitude also makes it impossible for you to feel upset for long. I would even go so far as to argue that yellows are more popular than other colours. How can I say that? Look for yourself. They entertain, put people in a good mood, and fun things always happen around them. They know how to capture everyone's attention and how to keep it. They make us feel important. They're just nice to be around. They are also very typically touchy-feely people. Like reds, yellows are very willing to make decisions. But they can rarely explain why using rational reasoning. A more likely response would be, it just felt right. And sure, gut feelings shouldn't be underestimated. Studies have shown that gut feelings are right more often than we think. But that's not the kind of gut feeling we're talking about here. Yellows often make decisions that are based on feeling simply because no thought was ever involved. I have a sister who is yellow. Marita is so easygoing in her manner that I've never heard anyone utter a single negative word about her. Never. I may be biased, but I've never met anyone who doesn't immediately like her. She has an entirely unique ability to connect with every person she meets. Marita always has something entertaining to say. However, some of these things are so peculiar that I sometimes have to ask her what she was thinking when she said them. With a burst of laughter, she usually replies, "Thinking? I wasn't." In many ways, it's liberating when I visit her and her husband, Leif. Their almost incomprehensible ability to see bright spots in everything around them is so delightful that it frees my own easygoing disposition. I'm never as happy and as exhilarated as when I visit them. For years, I wondered why this was, and I've reached the conclusion that yellow behaviour is simply contagious. If I say to my sister, "It looks like it's going to rain," she simply replies, "I can't imagine that." Pointing to the window, I say to her, "But look, it's actually raining. It's quite dark out there. We could have thunder before this is over." "Sure," she says. "But after that, the sun will come out. Just wait and see." Then she laughs again. While the rain pours outside, she sits on the sofa, unabashedly having fun. And I, along with everyone else, laugh along, because it's impossible to resist. The more the merrier. Your friends are my friends. People with lots of yellow in their behaviour are focused on creating relationships. They're outgoing and can be extremely persuasive. They're enthusiastic, excited, and happy to talk about their feelings for others, and not infrequently, for complete strangers. Yellows can talk to anyone. They're not at all shy, perceiving most people they meet as pleasant. They even see strangers in a positive light. They're just friends you haven't met yet. Many people notice that yellows are always smiling and laughing. That's undoubtedly one of a yellow's strengths. Their optimism is invincible. Comments about how everything is going to hell are often met by remarks about, "What a beautiful view we have." Just like reds, yellows have lots of energy. They find most things interesting. And yellow individuals are the most curious people you'll ever meet. Everything new is enjoyable. And a great deal of yellow energy is spent finding new ways of doing things. Who gets the most holiday cards, do you think? Yellows. Most contacts in their cell phone? That's right, yellows. Most friends on Facebook? You're getting the idea, yellows. They have friends absolutely everywhere, and they're excellent at keeping in touch with everyone in order to keep up to date. Yellows want to know what's going on. They want to be where it's all happening, and they will make sure to be at every party. Yellow people often see themselves as enthusiastic, inspiring, open, convincing, charming, optimistic, creative, easygoing, outgoing, flexible, spontaneous, communicative. Isn't it amazing? I just love it to bits. If there is anything that characterizes yellow behavior, it's unlimited optimism and enthusiasm. Few things can keep their good mood away for long. The yellow's entire being is concentrated on one thing: finding opportunities and solutions. In his day, Hippocrates called yellows the sanguine ones. This simply means optimists. Nothing is really a problem. It will all sort itself out. It's neither here nor there that the world just happens to be full of worries and hardships. With their incurably positive outlook on life, yellow individuals give joy to the people around them with their cheerful acclamations and entertaining jokes. I don't know where yellows get their tremendous energy, but it's focused on having fun and devoting themselves to social togetherness. Everyone must be involved, and a yellow will not allow anyone to be gloomy. Mika, a good friend of mine, is yellow, and his life has included more than his fair share of challenges. His wife left him, his children have had problems at school, and on various occasions, his employers have gone bankrupt, and he's lost his job. I can't even count how many times he's had a car accident, his home has been burgled, or he's been robbed of expensive items. Sometimes I hardly dare to answer the phone when I see that Mika is calling. To tell the truth, Mika is the most jinxed man I have ever met. But what's so curious about him is that none of this ever seems to bother him. Naturally, he's upset when accidents happen, but he can't stay upset for long periods of time. Inside, he just bubbles along most of the time. I remember one occasion when we were both quite young. He'd just bought an old Alfa Romeo. It was a two-seater with two doors. Painfully rusty, it was nothing short of a miracle that it even held together. Mika had the car for about a week when he hit a lamppost and couldn't get out on the driver's side. When I heard about the accident, I was worried and called to see if he was okay. His answer? It was fine. I just got out the other door. The optimistic consultant strikes again. Since yellow individuals are so positive and cheerful, they spread joy and warmth to those around them. With their uncontrollable optimism, they demolish all opposition quite effectively. Who can be upset when there's someone pointing out the good things all the time? How could anyone fail to be inspired by a person who refuses to see half-empty glasses, who always sees the positive? One of my customers is a sales director for a pharmaceutical company. Marianne worked her way up in the company via what we call the long route. Her managers and co-workers all agree that she's been so successful simply due to one thing: her amazing ability to inspire those around her. On a number of occasions, I've watched her conduct sales meetings. I consider myself a decent motivator. But when Marianne gets going, you just have to take your hat off to her. Within a couple of minutes, the room is so inspired, if she were to ask the sellers to jump out of the window, they'd do it, even though they're on the fifth floor. She makes everything sound so simple. "It's a great idea to jump out the window. We can do this. Let's jump." And the group jumps after her. With her optimism and bright outlook on life, she is phenomenal at getting people to achieve great feats, just by closing their eyes to anything negative. With sheer inspiration, she can inflate people's confidence to incredible levels. I once saw her dealing with an irate customer who felt mistreated by her organisation. Not a situation most people dream about. It turned out it wasn't a problem for Marianne. By just smiling steadfastly at the customer and refusing to listen to his negative comments, she moved him from an angry face to a gentle smile, and finally to boisterous laughter. How could that happen? I don't think that even she could explain the underlying process. It simply came naturally to her. What happens if we turn everything upside down? You won't find anyone more resourceful than a yellow. If there is anything yellows have an aptitude for, it's seeing solutions where others do not. Yellows have the unique ability to twist and turn things. To put it simply, they turn everything upside down and think outside the box. Call it what you want, but their thinking doesn't always follow any set pattern. They move quickly. The yellow's intellect is very fast, which means that it can be difficult to keep up. Sometimes they can find it difficult to explain their wild ideas. A good friend of mine likes to work on his home. Everything relating to interior design and garden design fascinates him. I suspect that Robin would secretly rather work in design on a full-time basis instead of his actual job. I've seen this for myself, but I've also heard from his wife how he goes about things. He walks around the garden and she starts counting backwards from 10. On 7, Robin says, "Honey, I have an idea." There are a few reasons for Robin's creativity. It's easy for him to think in images. He can simply see things in front of him long before they even exist. And he has courage. He's not afraid to try new things or to talk about them. Usually his mouth works parallel to his mind as he discovers these ideas. I've worked with a yellow who couldn't even cross the street without coming up with a few really thought-provoking business ideas just by looking around. How does this work? I don't really know. For a long time, we asked him to write down his proposals. You'll learn more about how a yellow would react to that kind of structure when we start talking about weaknesses. Yellows are also helped by the fact that they rarely have any limitations. A yellow dares to go beyond the usual conventions when he's in a creative mode. Normally, of course, structure and hierarchy in a business are a kind of limitation. But yellows are rarely concerned about such things. In fact, they often don't seem to know that such limitations are there. Need help with new suggestions or ideas? Hunt out the most yellow person you know. Are you stuck in the same way of thinking? Do you need a new perspective on an old problem? Speak to a yellow. You might not be able to use whatever idea scheme they come up with. In fact, realism isn't a factor for a yellow. But one thing can lead to another. And then all of a sudden, you have something that works. Selling snow to a penguin. With all their energy and optimism, yellows are very persuasive. It's easy for them to get carried away, seeing opportunities and solutions where others might only see a dead end. It's often said that there is a difference between convincing and persuading, and many yellows cross these boundaries. But what they say sounds so good. With the help of language, they really are masters at winning over people to their side. Regarding language, as I describe in the chapter on body language, most yellows have a rich and varied way of gesticulating so that they can convince you not just with their words, but with their entire bodies. But it's not just energy and will. Yellows have a unique way of expressing themselves that sways their listeners. They often use vivid and colourful imagery when they speak, which appeals to all five senses and creates an impression that is felt by the whole body. Without even knowing it, many yellows are skilled rhetoricians. They know instinctively that their ethos, the bearer of their message, is just as important as the message itself. Therefore, they are mindful of getting through to you as an individual, usually by being friendly and shaking your hand, making small personal comments, making you feel important. Many politicians are phenomenal at this. Think of Bill Clinton, for instance. He has the kind of charisma that is naturally present in many yellows. A noticeable interest in another person. The ability to ask exactly the right questions so that others feel that they are important. I know lots of people. All of them, in fact. If yellows aren't allowed to cultivate their relationships, they will slowly wither and die. Okay. This may be somewhat exaggerated, but the very definition of yellow behaviour revolves around their ability to build relationships. The yellow traits are inspirational. They inspire those around them. And the best way to achieve this is through building relationships. A yellow knows that by far the most important factor in business, for example, is relationships. If your customer doesn't feel positively about you, it will be difficult to make any headway. Yellows know everyone. They have more acquaintances than everyone else. They like everyone. A yellow doesn't need to know a person very well before calling him his friend. Anyone who doesn't actively dislike them, they consider to be a pal. Remember that when reds ask what is going to be done, yellows want to know immediately who will do it. This question is crucial for yellows. If the team or group does not function smoothly, a yellow will not feel well. He needs functioning relationships for him to come into his own. Conclusions on yellow behaviour. What do you think? Have you ever met a real yellow? Famous people who exhibit clear yellow traits include Oprah Winfrey, Robin Williams, Ellen DeGeneres, and, to take some fictional examples, Pippin from The Lord of the Rings and Han Solo from Star Wars.